Hello, and thanks for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast. I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, and today we're going to talk about feedback for pros. This episode is actually a follow-up to my article from last week, which kind of exploded on Hacker News, more than 100 upvotes, dozens of comments. My newsletter doubled in size, by the way. If you're not there, the link is in the show notes. And that very successful article was about not being cowardly and providing feedback when you need to. I will not be repeating the content from that article here in this episode. Feel free to check it out right now. The link is in the show notes. You can pause and get back to me. However, what we're going to do this episode is focus on how you should be structuring your feedback so that it would be actually valuable and help the team. Why is that? I've compiled all the different comments and emails I got in from last week and combed through them and found what are the core aspects people are having trouble with and decided to tackle it right here with you all. So let's get to it. I think the most important aspect is that when you provide someone with feedback, you have to keep in mind that that feedback needs to be actionable in a way. If you simply provide me with feedback that I have nothing I can do with, it was a one-time thing, it's never going to happen again, you're likely only going to make me feel bad. Assuming that's negative feedback, of course. I'm going to be talking mainly about negative feedback because when it comes to positive feedback, if you provide it, people are going to be happy. The issue is when you want to provide negative feedback in order to help them rise, get better, change something, you have to make them understand and relate. And it is usually useless to provide negative feedback unless it's actionable. Now, what does actionable mean? First and foremost, if it's something that they're doing daily or weekly or monthly and you want to help them fix that, don't just tell them, you suck at sprint planning. That's not actionable. Help them understand what exactly you want to see improve and maybe even provide them guidance along the way. You do not come prepared to sprint plannings. I want you to come with the most important tasks or issues you see for this sprint as product has asked for it so that we tackle it right in the sprint planning and don't find it out only in the last 10 minutes of the meeting. For example, and actionable does not mean that it always have to be something that you are going to be doing right now. For example, I had discussed with a VP a while ago who said that he had a team leader who really dropped the ball with an employee and basically ended up with that employee quitting because the relationship between the two got so bad, the employee decided to leave. And the VP said, well, that's water under the bridge. There's no reason to tell that to the team lead now. There's nothing he can do. That's right. That employee has gone and there's nothing to do about that specific employee. But that feedback has to be given. That team lead has to understand what was done wrong so that it would not repeat. Even though the action is something in the distance, that's something that they need to change, and so they need to be aware of it. Next is feedback timeliness. I have spoken time and again about how bad it is to pile up all your feedback and provide it about every 6 months or something in your half-yearly review. There's no use to doing that. That's very much like having your tests run only once a month. You have no idea what change broke them. What you do want to do is usually have the feedback in a regular, timely manner, such as in your weekly one-on-ones. Having the feedback be provided as close as possible to when the issue has happened means that it's still fresh in everyone's mind and usually means that there's more action to be taken about it. Just as you're running your tests with every push to GitHub, I'm assuming, you should be providing feedback often and on a regular manner. You do not wait until it's so bad that it has to be addressed, because that usually means the person getting the feedback will feel blindsided. Why haven't I been told in the last 8 months that I've been underperforming? Why has no one told me that I've been pissing people off for the last 2 months? You don't want to hear that you've got a piece of kale in your teeth only a day after you had that lunch. You want to hear as soon as you're finishing that bite. The same goes with feedback, provided in a timely manner. I've written about this, link in the show notes as well. Next is your feedback style. Here in this podcast, I am very, very frank and to the point. This is what I do. This is how I do my coaching and mentoring with my clients. I do not beat around the bush. I cut to the chase immediately and tell them exactly what I see wrong, right? Call it as I see it. Is that the way you should be providing your employees with feedback? Not likely. People are not machines. You must speak up. You must say what's problematic. You must help them see that and you must help them improve. That's your job. But that doesn't mean that you should be simply blurting it out as if you're Dr. House from that TV show from a few years ago. All right, that's not the point. We are not cyborgs. Your style should match the person you're talking to and the feedback you're providing. You do not have to be callous. You do not have to be antagonizing. Think about the message you're sending, construct it. You can even roleplay it so that you come prepared. This is something I do regularly with my clients, and it's something that you can do with a peer. Make sure that you provide the feedback in a way that comes across organized, understood, and compassionate. You do not come in demanding unless something really, really bad has happened. And that connects to another point, and that is the fact that you should be treating your feedback as something open. What do I mean? Simply because you see something that you think is wrong and that you think you know what should be done does not mean that you understand everything completely. When you provide feedback, come open-minded and listen to what the other person has to say. You are not perfect. You do not always know the right thing, even if you think you do. So when you are providing that feedback, be prepared to listen to what they have to say and actually actively ask them. Do you think I'm seeing things correctly? Am I missing anything? Not only does that make them feel more secure and builds trust, it actually will help you when you eventually miss something. Maybe they are talking like that to that specific employee because they harassed them a while ago. Maybe someone's mother has cancer. I don't know. I've seen these things happen. You have to be aware. You have to ask. You have to know. So come frank. And in a very open manner, help them and tell them that you are open, rephrase, and in a very candid manner, when you are providing feedback, let them know that you are very open to hear what they have to say. We are not pointing fingers. We are not looking for guilt. We are professionals trying to make each other better. This is crucial so that they feel like they can provide you with feedback whenever they see something that you eventually do wrong. I'm hoping that you're getting feedback from your employees about yourself. If not, maybe we'll discuss that in another episode. But you want to cultivate a culture where people provide each other with feedback when they see issues. And if you're open, they are more likely to feel like you will be open to receive feedback about yourself as well. And lastly, when you construct feedback, there's this issue where you have to be choosing your battles. I'm seeing managers all over the place saying, I cannot and will not try and fix all of these people under my control. If they're not doing anything harmful, I'll just let them sit over there and let them do stuff while trying to keep up with the rest of my team. I will choose my battles. I will not confront those employees because who knows, I might work with them in another company later on. Well, you know what? That's cowardly. That's exactly what I'm talking about in my article. If you're running away from providing feedback because you're saying, that's not my job, that's not my role, or why do I even have to do that because they're not likely to, or why would I, for example, let someone go? That doesn't feel nice. I wouldn't have fun doing that. The salary is not coming out of my pocket. What do I care? Well, you're not managing your team and you're not leading them if you're letting things like that happen. And if you're letting things deteriorate to the point where you have to let someone go because you haven't helped them get better, well, you know what? That's on you. The ownership is something so crucial in leading organizations that you have to understand that you are responsible for each and every single person. Must you speak up about every single thing? No. You have to choose your battles when it comes to the amount of feedback that you're giving You cannot drown someone. You cannot usually put all of your calendar time into working about feedback with each and every single person in your team. That's okay. But you do have to be aware of the feedback you're providing, and you have to provide it when it is necessary. You have to speak up. You have to tell them. Otherwise, you're doing those employees a disservice because they are not aware usually of the fact that they are underperforming. They will be blindsided eventually, either because they're not going to get a recommendation when they move to their next job, or because you move positions, a new manager comes in and axes them. Don't do them a disservice. Don't let them just idly sit by and have nothing done for a year. I've seen with my own two eyes people who were doing poorly at a company for years only to become much better when they simply switch jobs to a new place. Sometimes things don't work out because of the environment, not because of that specific person being inept. And because of that, you have to realize that you have to speak up and help them, or help them move on. And you're not only doing them a disservice, you're doing your whole team a disservice. Because if I'm in a team and I'm seeing that someone is not pulling their own weight at all and not trying to get better, and no one is telling them that, I end up feeling like I'm the only sucker here doing all the work. I've seen that happen many times, and you do not want to be there. You want to create an organization where everyone feels like everyone is a contributor and valuable and working together to get better. That's the ultimate way to get to an impact-driven team that actually helps your organization and business improve regularly and quickly. So to sum all of this up, feedback has to be actionable, timely, with the right style, open-minded, and yes, you have to choose your battles, but you should default to choosing more of them. Now, question of the week. Last week's question was, how did you last celebrate something interesting in your team? Thank you for your inputs. I'm seeing food as a clear winner. Cakes, donuts, and the other aspect isn't bringing food to the people, is taking people to the food. As in, we went to a very nice restaurant and everyone had a blast. Nice. I'm suggesting you start celebrating wins at your company if you're not doing so right now. This week's question is, give me your best feedback story. I don't care if it's feedback you received or feedback you supplied. I want to hear nice, good stories. Send it to me. My email is in the show notes. It can be anonymous. As you can see, I'm not saying anyone's names. Please share. And even if you don't want me to put it on the show, and just send it to me directly, I would appreciate that. So, thank you to all my listeners. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, and talk to you soon. Thank you for joining me.